says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the fact that if all we have is you, we have enough. But Lord, you have designed us to be relational beings. And your plan for our lives is that we would have friends and family that we can share our burdens and trials with. And God, I pray that we would determine to make connections within this group of believers. There's nothing more than the devil would want to isolate ourselves, to make us all feel as if we are islands going through life on our own. But God, I pray that we would realize that you desire us to have friends. And God, I pray that our friends would not only be people we share hobbies and interests with, but that we share life with and draw spiritually closer together with. Be with Pastor as he preaches. And I pray that if there's one here that has not known the greatest friend a man can have, that they would not leave here without having a relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Reese. And we're in Acts chapter number 2. I'm going to turn this on. Acts chapter number 2. Just working, guys.
There we go. They got it figured out. Amen. Well, Acts chapter 2 is where we're at this morning. I already had several of you ask me this morning, what happened, Pastor? So I forgot to address it in the morning service, and so I'll address it now. I have a black eye. Pastor is really rough sometimes, okay? That's not what happened. But I was playing basketball this week, and somebody got me with their elbow while we were playing basketball. And no, it was not my wife. I'm not making this up. I'm in church. I promise I'm not lying, okay? But sorry, you've got to look at the black guy this morning. But so we're in Acts chapter 2, and we started 2 weeks ago a sermon series that I called Synchronize. We talked about the need that we have to get synchronized as a church. God has brought all of us from different backgrounds and different perspectives together to be a part of this body, and he wants to bring us together in unity together to function, to accomplish his great mission for us as a church. And so we preached the first message in this series 2 weeks ago. If you didn't get to hear it, I hope you'll go back on our website or on our podcast and give it a listen, because it's such an important foundational message to everything else that we're going to be studying. But here in Acts chapter 2, one of the interesting things that we see mentioned here in verse number 46, if you look there with me, Acts 2 and verse 46, this is what the Bible says. It says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple." And one of the early identifying markers of the church was that they existed in one accord. One accord speaks of how God blends the lives of believers together. And it's a wonderful thing to see this happen. God takes people with vastly different perspectives and unites them together to function as one, as his body. God desires to synchronize us. God desires to bring us together as one, as his church. And that's what we're focusing on as we have this topical study through the scriptures. And one of the first areas we discover God wants us to get together on is the area of fellowship. Fellowship is so important for us to be able to share as a body of believers. I want you to look at Acts chapter 2 again and look at verse 42. If you're there, say amen. All right, just making sure you're still with me. Verse 42, the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in what?" Help me out. Fellowship. and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Yes, there was eating there too. Hallelujah, okay? But fellowship, and I love that word in the scripture. It is koinonia in the Greek. And this past Christmas, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law sent us, among many other gifts for our kids, they sent us some coffee. They know what's important to us. Let me see all you coffee drinkers out there. All right? All right? Who are you non-coffee drinkers? Go ahead. All right. The altar's open for you in just a little while. Okay. That being said, they sent me coffee, and on the front of it, it must have been some kind of homemade coffee or something, but it said Koinonia Coffee on it, Fellowship Coffee. And it's a great reminder. I think coffee is a great example of fellowship, because when you get together with somebody, a lot of times we like to drink a cup of coffee while we sit there and spend time together, for those of us that are coffee drinkers. But the word fellowship, it essentially speaks of sharing life with someone. That's what it talks about. One person defined it as a partnership to the mutual benefit of both people who are involved. A partnership. In other words, it's not all one way. One person doing the talking, one person doing the serving, one person doing everything. It's reciprocal. That's what the picture of fellowship is. It's give and take. And that's the kind of relationship that God desires for his people to be able to share together. When I was a young boy in Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher, I don't remember which one it was, but he told us that fellowship was you and your fellow on a ship going through life together. Now, I have no idea if that's true, but I've never been able to forget it. You and your fellow on a ship going through life together. I think it's a good picture of sharing life, and that's really what fellowship is. And one of the areas that we need to get in sync with God on is this matter of fellowship, of the importance of sharing life together as believers. And I told you at the beginning of this study, a couple weeks ago, that we were going to look at several important areas to God and examine where we have gotten out of sync with God in these particular areas and allow God to work on our hearts to get us back in sync with him. So let me tell you what I hope happens today. I hope as we study these truths that God will reveal some areas in your life where you and God aren't on the same page when it comes to this matter of you spending time in fellowship with other believers. And I hope that we'll make some definitive decisions today to get back in sync with God, because that really is the goal of this whole series. And I want to give you a foundational truth here, all right? God never intended for any believer to go through life alone. I'm going to say it again. God never intended for any believer to go through life alone. We need each other. And that's always how God intended it to be. Now, growing up, we used to watch reruns. They were reruns for me, not necessarily for some of you, but we used to watch reruns of The Lone Ranger. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I loved all those old shows. And I tell you something, God does not want there to be any Lone Ranger Christians. Some of you think it's your spiritual gift to stay as isolated as you can from everybody. Like, you go home from church and you tell your spouse, I didn't even talk to anybody today. It was awesome, right? Maybe not quite that extreme. But that is not a spiritual gift, in case you were wondering. God actually wants us to fellowship, to enjoy life together. And so as we look at this principle today, I want to ask you, are you a Lone Ranger Christian? Do you enjoy fellowship with other believers? It's an important thing for us as believers. And we're going to see why it's so important here. And I want you to notice with me five principles of fellowship that will help us get synchronized to gather as the church. Here's the first one I want you to write down, and that is the basis of fellowship. Note down the basis of fellowship. And here it is. Let's go in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Because really, to understand the basis of fellowship, we've got to go back to the beginning to get a grasp on it. And here's a statement for you. God created every person with the inherent need for fellowship. It's part of your being. It's part of how you were created. You have a part of you, whether you have acknowledged it or not, that desperately needs fellowship with other people. Now, vertically, we were created with a need for fellowship with God. And until we have that fellowship restored, we've got a hole in our hearts that can't be filled by anything else. Vertically, we were made to need fellowship with God. But then horizontally, we were also created with a need for fellowship with each other. And we see those principles demonstrated all the way at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2. So if you're there, say amen. Genesis chapter 2. And I don't have time to tell the whole story, but if we read Genesis chapter 1, we'd find that God created the world in 6 days. And after every day, when he got to the end of the day, he looked at what he had made, and what did he say? Help me out. It's good. Wow. God, have you ever just made something before, and you stepped back and looked at it and said, that's pretty good. All right? Well, that's what God did. And it was good. Everything he made was good. And up until the sixth day, he made the first man. And he looked at him, and he said, oh, that's not good. Not for the reason you're thinking, okay? But he looked at the man, and he said, this is not good. Let's look at what he actually said in verse 18 of chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. Verse 18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. Case in point, God did not make us to be alone. He simply did not make us to be alone. Now, I really debated sharing this story, but they gave me permission to do it in the first service, and so I hope it's okay for you guys as well. We talked about the Lone Ranger a minute ago. In one of those old episodes, the Lone Ranger and Tonto were traveling down a canyon together, right? And as they're going down this canyon together, all of a sudden a bunch of Native American warriors jump out and surround them. And the Lone Ranger looks at Tonto, and he says, Tonto, what are we going to do? And Tonto looked at him and said, what do you mean, we, white man? You ever been in a situation like that? You just felt alone? It's a bummer to be alone. I'm going to tell you something. Life is not very fun to live when you have to live it alone. Because that's not how God created us to be. God never intended for us to have to go through life alone. Look in your notes at Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. The Bible says here, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to lift him up. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Here's the point. You need others, and others need you. We are better together, and that is our created purpose. God has created us with this inherent need for fellowship, for relationships with each other. And so we see the basis of fellowship. And by the way, you can't leave here today and say, well, I don't really need people. I just showed you from the Bible why that's not true, okay? You do need people, and people need you. So we see the basis of fellowship. Number two, I want you to notice the barrier to fellowship. The barrier to fellowship. So we know that fellowship with others is central to our existence as humanity, and yet this matter of fellowship is one of the areas that we struggle with the most, isn't it? Think of every problem you have in your life right now, every crisis, every struggle, every frustration. If you really think about it, I would almost guarantee it could boil down to some degree to a relationship that you have. That struggle with your kids, that issue at work with a coworker or your boss, all right? And I won't even talk about what's going on in your home right now, amen? But we all have struggles, and to some degree, the struggles that we have really can be boiled down to our relationships. Or the lack of relationship that we share with other people. And so it's like a dichotomy here. If God made us for fellowship, he made us to enjoy time together, why do we have so much trouble with it? And there's a one-word answer to it. You know what it is? Sin. Somebody nailed it. Sin is the reason that we have so much struggle. So you're in Genesis 2. Look over in Genesis chapter 3. I'm just going to give you an overview here and then read one verse for you. In Genesis 3, it is where God, who created the world perfectly and commanded the first man and woman with only one thing not to do, this is where that man made the decision to do exactly what God had told him not to do. He took of the fruit of the forbidden tree. And after he did that, when God came down to spend time with him and Eve, the Bible tells us that for the first time in history, in verse number 8, it says that they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Their vertical fellowship with God was hindered. And as a result, we read on and we begin to see that when God began to question them about their actions, they started pointing their fingers at each other. They started fighting with each other. Look at verse 12 of Genesis chapter number 3. Verse 12, the Bible says, "And the man said, that woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And then you go on to Eve, and she blames the serpent, and so on and so forth. And so we see there's trouble in paradise here, literally. The first man and woman, the only relationship that exists in the world, their fellowship is broken because of sin. And by the way, their struggle carried over to their children as well. Their children also struggled. You say, how do you know they struggled? I don't know. One of them killed the other one. I'd call that a struggle. Okay? It was Cain and Abel. And from the time that humanity fell into sin, we have had relationship issues. We have had issues that break down our fellowship with each other. And it's a matter of principle. Every person who is born into this world is born with a sin nature and therefore are born with barriers to their ability to fellowship with other people. And so the problem of sin will be behind every relational struggle that you face. Every relational struggle is due to sin to some degree in your life. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 that only by pride comes contention. In James chapter 4 and verse 1, this is in your notes, it says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members?" And boy, we all have a struggle with our fellowship with other people from time to time because we all have these barriers of sin. So here's my question for you. What are your barriers? What are the barriers that are keeping you from enjoying real fellowship with other like-minded believers? Let me give you a couple of ideas. Perhaps your barrier is your pride. You think, I don't need anybody. I'm fine alone. In fact, I prefer to be alone. Pride. Maybe your barrier is the reverse of pride. It's insecurity. Maybe you think, well, I don't think anybody wants to be with me. I don't think that anybody likes me. That could be your barrier to enjoying fellowship with other people. Maybe your barrier is bitterness. Somebody hurt you in the past, and you don't want to let somebody else in. You don't want to let somebody else in because you don't want to risk getting hurt again. You can't forgive them, and so you won't let anybody else in. Maybe your barrier is busyness. You'd like to have friends, but you don't have time for them. You'd like to share fellowship with other people, but you're too busy conquering the world. I read a poem this past week. I want to read it to you, and I want you to think about it with me. "Around the corner, I have a friend in this great city that has no end. Yet days go by and weeks rush on, and before I know it, a year is gone. And I never see my old friend's face, for life is a swift and terrible race. He knows I like him just as well as in the days when I rang his bell and he rang mine. We were younger then, and now we are busy and tired men. Tired with playing a foolish game, tired with trying to make a name. Tomorrow, I say, I will call on Jim just to show him I'm thinking of him. But tomorrow comes, and tomorrow goes, and the distance between us grows and grows. Around the corner, yet miles away. And here's a message, sir, Jim died today." And that's what we get and deserve in the end. Around the corner, a banished friend. Don't miss the opportunity to enjoy one of this life's greatest privileges, and that is to be able to have fellowship with other people. This life isn't much worth living if you try to do it all alone. You'll be a sad and lonely person one day if you're so busy trying to conquer the world you get to the end and have no one to share it with. See, the Bible gives us some wonderful principles that show us the importance of fellowship. We see the basis of fellowship, and then we see, secondly, the barrier to fellowship. Now, the third truth I want you to see is the bond of fellowship. The bond of fellowship. If you're still with me, say amen. Well, for this, I want you to take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And it's important we understand that there is a special bond that allows two people to be able to enjoy fellowship together. a special bond. And most of the time, the bond is something that's very simple, like cheering for the same sports team. There are people all over our country today for the two playoff games for the NFL that are going to take place. Thousands of people that are gathering in stadiums. And I guarantee you, there'll be people who sit beside complete strangers they've never met before, who they will hug and scream and shout and act like they've been best friends their whole life with. Why? Because they're cheering for that team. All right? Now, if you're a sports person like I am, I've done it with the rest of them. All right? I'll just go bonkers for my team. But usually it's a common bond that will bring two people together to be able to enjoy fellowship together. Here's my point. For us as believers, the special bond that unites us in fellowship is our common faith in Jesus Christ. It's Jesus that brings us together, and that's the strongest bond that could ever exist in the world. So look at 1 John chapter number 1 and verse 3. The Bible says this, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So it is this faith in Christ that brings us into a common fellowship together as believers. Verse 7 goes on to say that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Boy, those of us who have experienced forgiveness of sin through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have a common bond that is the strongest bond that exists on this side of eternity. And it never ceases to amaze me how powerful the bond is that believers share together. Listen to me. It's so powerful that this is a bond that breaks down the barriers that used to divide us. Things like race or religion or politics or, oh, you're from that side of town. Or, oh, that's your last name. I know what your family's like. Those kinds of barriers that used to drive people apart, when we all come to the foot of the cross and realize we're all sinners in need of a Savior, those barriers break down. And all of a sudden, we can come together as a unified body and overcome those sinful, fleshly barriers that used to drive us apart. The Bible tells us so much. Look in your notes at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 13. And the Bible says here in this verse, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us." It goes on to say in verse 18, "For through him, Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." And this is awesome. This bond is so powerful, it breaks down the barriers that used to drive us apart. But I also say this, bond that we have in Christ is so powerful that it can even make us closer than we are with even our blood relatives. And this is something I've experienced. Now, I'm blessed that most of my close family, they're all saved. So they're brothers and sisters in Christ as well as some of my blood relatives. But for many people, and this has been my experience too, even with some of my extended family, the past almost 10 years that I've spent here, I've gotten closer to some of you than I have even ever been with anybody in my family. Why? Because we share this special fellowship together as believers in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Proverbs 24 and verse 18 that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Praise God for this bond. But here's a word of warning before we move on. The same bond that can unite us together around our common faith in Jesus Christ can be taken around the wrong thing too. Understand, you can form a bond of fellowship with someone over alcohol. We like to drink together. You can form a bond of fellowship together over things that are not godly and are not good and that will not help you as an individual. We need to be careful about our friendships. I want you to look in your notes at Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 8. It says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord, and so walk as children of the light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." I'll say this, there is nothing that will bring you closer to God than a godly friend. And there is nothing that will drive you farther away, pull you farther away, than an ungodly friend or an unbeliever. You need to be careful about your fellowship, who you're fellowshipping with. By the way, if you find yourself drawn more to people who are not godly and are not practicing things which are good, you ought to ask yourself where your heart is. Because I've challenged you during this time of studying in the Scripture to allow God to speak to your heart to help you get in sync with God. And if you find that you're out of sync with God in this matter of your fellowship, you ought to get it right. And that's what I'll say to you. So we see the basis of a fellowship. We see the barriers to fellowship. We see the bond of fellowship. But number four, I want you to note down the battle for fellowship. The battle for fellowship. And let me just summarize this by saying, it takes a lot of work to allow for yourself to have meaningful and lasting fellowship with other people. Because of our issues with sin, there's a continual struggle that we have as human beings to maintain good relationships. And anybody that's been married for very long, you know it takes work to maintain a good marriage. And not just to be roommates, but to be soulmates. It takes work to stay with that, right? It takes work to maintain a good friendship. It takes work for a church family to stay united together in fellowship and not allow petty things to drive us apart. But it's worth the battle. Yes, there's a battle that needs to take place for fellowship, but in the end, what we get to enjoy on the other side of fighting that battle is worth fighting it. And that's what I want you to understand. And so as we look at the Bible explains that there are battles we'll face to our fellowship with each other, but it also tells us how to fight them. And so let me give you these three principles real quick before we move on. First off, these are the fights that you must fight for fellowship. First off, you must fight to obtain fellowship. Write that down. You must fight to obtain fellowship. And the struggle that many people face when it comes to the matter of fellowship is simply finding someone to fellowship with. The Bible says that a man who has friends must show himself what? Help me out.
Friendly.
Friendly. Being friendly is a great first step. And for many of you, that's the biggest battle you face, is just trying to find friendships. The old story is told about a man who was traveling back east, and he came to a river that was it just recently rained, and it was swollen over. The bridge had collapsed. There's no way for him to get across. But then a group of men on horses came up, and they began to, one by one, go across that swelling river on the horseback. And it was dangerous, but because they had the horse, they were able to get across without harm. And he just watched them one by one going across. Until finally, the last guy, he looked at his face, and he felt like he could do it. And he went up, and he asked if he would help him across. And the man, without hesitating, led him on his horse, and he took him across the water. And when he got to the other side, all the other men who were sitting on their horses there, they looked at him, and they asked him, "Now, why did you wait to ask the President of the United States to take you across the river?" Well, it was none other than President Thomas Jefferson. And the man immediately took a step back and he said, I had no idea he was the president. I really didn't. He said, "All I know is I looked at all your faces and all your faces said no. But his face was a yes face." And I think about that story and I think when it comes to obtaining friendships, that's the kind of face that we need to have. A yes face. And I have found that if you're willing to be friendly to someone, you will not have a problem with making friends. And it's a battle to obtain friendships. You got to fight to obtain good friendships. Here's the second fight. You've got to fight to maintain fellowship with people. You got to fight to maintain. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, the Bible says at the end of the verse that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Here's the point. Sticks closer, that's a Hebrew phrase that literally means to adhere to. I mean to be glued to. When it comes to your fellowship with other people, if you're fellowshipping with the right kind of people, you ought to connect yourself to them, and no matter what happens, never let it go. Stick with them. They'll make mistakes. You'll make mistakes, but the identifying mark of a good friend is to be loyal. And through thick and thin, through high and low, doesn't mean you never call them out for their problems and weaknesses and hold them accountable. But a good friend is marked by someone who, as one person put it, I love this quote, a real friend is the one who walks in when everybody else walks out. That's a good friend. And that's the battle that we've got to face when it comes to our maintaining fellowship with other people. So you've got to fight to obtain this kind of fellowship. You've got to fight to maintain it. And then the final thing I want you to see here is that you must fight to regain this fellowship sometimes. This is perhaps the hardest part of our relationships with each other. Confrontation. How many of you say, Pastor, I just love conflict. It's my favorite thing. I didn't think so. You might like what results from conflict, but none of us like to confront somebody. None of us like to be confronted by somebody for something that we've done. And this is why this is one of the areas that we struggle with the most when it comes to our fellowship with each other. I want you to look in your notes at Proverbs 18 and verse 19. This is what the Bible says. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Contentions are like the bars of a castle. A brother who's offended. Here's my self-explanation of that verse. Conflict imprisons people. When you've got two people who are upset at each other, all that they're doing is locking themselves away in their own self-made prison, and they cannot get out of it until they work things out. What we have in churches today, in our church, what we have in our society today is a bunch of people who have locked themselves in a prison, and they're bitter, and they're angry, and they have a hard time having relationships with other people, and the reason why is because they've locked themselves in this prison of bitterness because they're unwilling to work things out with the person who hurt them or the person that they hurt. And until you allow the Lord to enable you to come to a place of resolution, you will continue to struggle with relationships. You say, Pastor, that's really hard. You don't know what I'm going through. And you're right, I don't know what you're going through. But I do know what the Bible teaches. And I do know that God gives grace for every situation. And if you'd be willing to exercise some faith that God is able, God can help you come to a place of resolution. By the way, sometimes you try to work things out and they're not willing. But your trying does everything in the world to release you from your prison. It's important for you to do the right thing even if they aren't ready to yet. And this isn't fun stuff, is it? It's important stuff, though. Because I'm going to tell you, in order to have good fellowship, is a battle. You got to fight to maintain. You've got to fight to gain these kinds of friendships, and you've got to fight sometimes to regain these issues of fellowship. I'll say this as a side note. This matter of reconciliation is so important. We're going to dedicate our midweek Bible study to it this week. That's what we're going to study this Wednesday at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. And I challenge you, especially if this is something God's stirring your heart about, you're struggling with, to come to the Bible study, because we're going to look at it a whole lot more. But let's suffice it to say what the Bible says here. Proverbs 6 and verse 3, it says, do this now, my son. Deliver thyself when you are come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself and make sure thy friend. If you've got an issue with somebody, stop putting it off. The word of Scripture is, do it now. Whatever it is, forgive them or ask their forgiveness. And move on, you will set yourself and will set them free and open up the doors of fellowship once again if you'd be willing to do it. So we see the basis of fellowship. We see the barriers to fellowship, the bond of fellowship, and the battle for fellowship. But the final principle I want us to note this morning is the benefits of fellowship. The benefits of fellowship. Now, though there are many barriers and battles that we must face as we seek fellowship with others, thank God there's a whole lot of benefits too. And by the way, through all the difficulty you have to go through in seeking fellowship with other people, at the end of the day, the benefits make it all so worth it. All the frustrations and all the conflicts that you have to work out, it's all worth it to be able to have somebody that you can truly share life with, you can truly fellowship with. I don't have time to expound these, but I wrote them in your notes because I want you to be able to look at them more closely later. I want to just read them to you here. Notice what we have here. A few examples of the blessings of fellowship. Fellowship allows you to bear each other's burdens. Now, you know as well as I do how valuable it is when you're going through something to have somebody who, when you call them, they answer the phone. When you need them, you know, even if it's in the middle of the night, you can go to them, or if you call them, they'll probably come to you. Somebody to bear burdens for you with. We all need that. And that's what you get from having fellowship. Here's the next one. Fellowship allows you to pray for each other. What a valuable thing to actually have somebody, when you tell them a burden that you have, you know that they pray for you. They don't just say that they'll pray for you. They pray for you. That's a valuable thing to have. Here's the next one. Fellowship allows you to hold each other accountable. And this following principle here, fellowship allows you to make each other better. Hey, sometimes we need fellowship, and it's not all roses when it comes to fellowship. Sometimes when we share time together, we need to call each other out on things and say, hey, you know, your attitude probably wasn't really right there. Sometimes we need that, and sometimes when we do that, the sparks fly. We don't like it all the time, but it's good for us. That's another good reason, another benefit of having fellowship in our lives. Number five, fellowship allows you to encourage each other. By the way, that's what Jesus told us in Hebrews 10, verse 25. A reason why we are not to forsake this assembly is because we need to come together every week to encourage each other, to exhort one another in so much as you see the day approaching. So important for us to be able to encourage. And sometimes when I come to church, I'm the one who needs to encourage somebody else who is down. And sometimes I walk through these doors, and whether or not I've realized it, I needed encouragement. And you all provide that to me. We're better together. These are the benefits of having fellowship with each other. Number six, fellowship allows you to love each other. Number seven, fellowship allows you to care for each other. And number eight, fellowship allows you to serve each other. There are so many things we could talk about when it comes to this, but in spite of all the challenges that come with having relationships with each other or seeking godly fellowship, the blessings far outweigh all of them. And at the end of the day, it's worth it. It's worth it to fight to be able to have good relationships with each other. Now, one final verse I want us to look at and we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. It's in your notes, or you can turn there in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. And this is what the Bible tells us here. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God specifically emphasizes the importance of fellowship together so much that right here, He literally commands us, don't stop getting together, church. Don't stop sharing life together. Every week, on a routine basis, as often as the church is getting together, you need to be there. Why? Because we are better together. We need each other. And Jesus teaches us the vital importance of having community, a community of fellowship with other like-minded believers. So here's my question. When it comes to this particular issue, are you in sync with God when it comes to your fellowship with others? Or would you have to honestly admit, Pastor, there are some barriers that I've allowed, or perhaps that the circumstances of my life have put up, that have kept me keeping people at an arm's length? Would you have to admit, Pastor, I haven't been willing to fight for these kinds of friendships. If it gets hard, I just move on. Would you have to admit some of these things? See, because if you have some areas that God's been making clear you're not in sync with Him on, I hope that you'll listen to the teaching of Scripture today and make some definitive, specific, practical decisions in your life to start changing and moving in the direction that God wants you to go.